Good morning. It is good to see you all here. Good to be in God's house. And I'll tell you what, yesterday was such a beautiful service, remembering Joy and her life. And I'll tell you what, that granddaughter of hers, she's a speaker now. The Lord put words in her heart that just, I mean, you couldn't help but sit there and have a tear in your eye. But every word she shared about her grandma was so true. But such a blessed day. And I praise God that I was able to be here and able to get away from my family. Because I love my family, but sometimes it's better to get away. But I was glad to be with my church family yesterday and to experience that time together. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of James, chapter 3. We're going to be looking at verses 5 through 7. And when you get there, I'd like to ask you if you're able to please stand as I read from God's Word. James chapter 3, verses 5 through 7. So also, the tongue is a small part of the body, and yet it boasts of great things. See how great a forest is set aflame by such a small fire. And the tongue is a fire, the very world of iniquity. The tongue is set among our members as that which defiles the entire body and sets on fire the course of our life and is set on fire by hell. For every species of beast and birds, of reptiles and creatures of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by the human race. I'm going to go ahead and read verse 8. But no one can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil and full of deadly poison. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we're so thankful for the reading of your word. God, our prayer this morning is, God, you would help us to control our tongues. Let us be the kind of Christian people that we quickly think before we speak. And Father, let us learn from your word today exactly what we need to hear. Father, as I preach this message, let every word come from you through your Holy Spirit and nothing that would be of my flesh or my own words. And Father, we ask it and pray it in Jesus' holy name. Amen. You may be seated. The tongue makes great boasts. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. Though it is small, it has disproportionate influence, and words can shape relationships, reputations, and spiritual direction. And what I want us to focus on this first part of verse 5 is that small things can produce very large consequences. Now, you know, as Christian people, we are to be the kind of people who follow the example of Jesus Christ. Because Christian means Christ-like. And we know that through Jesus' life on this earth, Jesus, he was the kind of person who didn't hang around with what I would call the typical Christian groups that, you know, where they like to gossip about everybody around them or where they speak a lot of negative things. Jesus was the type of person that, well, being that we know that he was the Son of God, we also know he was the only perfect man to ever walk the face of the earth. But Jesus was very careful about the words he spoke. We see a lot in Jesus' life that the words he spoke a lot of, well, he was the Word, but he also spoke the truth. He spoke things that would uplift. He spoke things that would encourage. He also spoke words to help teach, to help somebody, maybe they didn't feel like they were loved. Jesus would speak love into people. And I can guarantee you this. When Jesus got done speaking to a crowd of folks, I guarantee you that was probably a group of people who felt like they could conquer anything. I mean, could you imagine if Jesus himself would appear here at Bosque Dell Church this morning and speak to our hearts? I don't think that any of us would have our attention span anywhere else. We would be so honed in on the words coming out of our Savior. I mean, how many of you have ever listened to somebody that maybe tell a story or share a life experience, and you were so devoted to that person, you loved them so much that you just clung onto every word they said? And I believe so much in my heart that that's the kind of people that we should be as Christians. Now, yesterday, I listened to every word that beautiful granddaughter spoke of her grandma Joy. Now, I can tell you this. I made quite a few visits to Joy and Gene Sanders' house over the last 4 years. Well, up until Gene's passing, until Joy was no longer able to recognize who I was. But I can tell you this. That woman had the greatest witness. That woman had the greatest love in her heart. And I'll tell you this much. She had a lot of words to say. But not one time did I hear Joy Sanders speak judgment against anybody. I never heard her speak a lie. I never heard her gossip. I never heard her put anybody down. As I would sit in that living room, and now here's Joy's thing. This is what I so miss about her. I'd walk into the house, I'd knock on the door, and Gene would always come down, unlock the door. He'd say, "Hey, good morning, Brother Jim," or "Good afternoon, Brother," whatever time of day. He says, "Come on up, come on in and sit down." He said, "Oh, Joy will be so glad to see you." And I'd walk in, and there'd be Joy sitting on the couch, and she'd look at me, and she'd say, "There's my pastor." And she had the biggest smile on her face. And so, if any of you have been in her house, been in their house, well, when you come through the doorway, there's a couch, and she was always sitting right on that end right there. And she'd say, "Brother," I'd sit in the chair, there's one chair. She'd say, "Well, Brother Jim, come sit over here by me. I got some stuff I want to show you." And she'd get the picture albums out. And this is what I heard. She spoke so good of her family. She spoke of the love. She didn't speak of the bad times. She didn't speak of the hardships. She didn't speak about the fights and the quarrels that had happened within the family. She spoke of every good thing that she experienced in life. Now, I can tell you this. I guarantee you that she experienced a lot of hard times. And probably, as Gene said, there's probably times she'd like to choke him. But she never spoke a bad word against her husband or anybody that I heard her. She had such a pure and a loving heart. And her granddaughter yesterday, I mean, now she was filling some pretty good shoes. I have never heard a negative word come out of that family. And yesterday, the words she spoke were so true. And that is what God is expecting of you and I today. See, the tongue is such a small part of the body, but it can sure shift the course of life by what comes out of our mouth. Have you ever watched has anybody ever watched a large ship go across the ocean, whether it be on a movie or whatever? Do you know that even a boat as large as a triple-decker cruise ship, It is controlled by a small rudder, by a small little flap. And we have a small little flap within our mouths that should be praising God, that should be speaking good things, but yet, as I just read in verse 8, it's untamable. I mean, it's full of a deadly poison. And if we are Christian people and we are supposed to be practicing Christ's ways, then I would firmly believe that every single one of us should be the kind of Christians that we should be quick to think and slow to speak, just as the Bible says. Now, in my life, I grew up in a lot of negativity. When our families got together, it was the most negative gossip session. And in my life as a child growing up, I just thought this was a part of life. I thought this is how it was supposed to be. I didn't learn good things. I thought everybody was bad. And that's kind of why I hated people. I hated people that I didn't even know, because I would look at them and I would cast a judgmental spirit. And then I started to realize, as I got older, my mouth would get the best of me. My tongue would flap. And the more my tongue flapped, the more trouble I got into. And I could quickly see the path that was being forged in my life. Every negative thing that I ever spoke, it was basically building a negative outcome in my life. Now, when I was a child, I used to think, I can't wait to become an adult, because all the other kids around me would fight and call each other names. And I used to think, oh, I can't wait to become an adult, because, boy, adults act so good and they treat each other with kindness and compassion. But boy, was I ever wrong. When I became an adult, I found out that most adults were worse than most kids I grew up with, in the way that they talked, the things that they said. But if words shape relationships, then we ought to be the kind of people. Now, we shouldn't be judging others on how they look or what they do. And when I came down from praying in my office this morning, I caught the last tail end of the Sunday school lesson, and they were talking about wealth. And do you know how many times we judge somebody because we look down upon them for where they live or what they drive or how they dress, things like that? Or maybe they're not a part of the country club, so they get excluded. They're not part of the elite social neighborhood, so we'll treat them as outcasts. And I want to tell you this. Every single person that we as Christian people that we encounter, we should be finding the good points in their lives, and we should be the ones to help build the Christian character that we're supposed to be helping others to build. If we're cutting everybody else down around us, if we're talking about how stupid and how dumb and ignorant other people are, then you know what that's a reflection of? It's a reflection of a bad attitude that's been sown in us, because the negativity that we sow, it's going to produce a bad fruit. It's going to produce things of the world. It's going to produce corruption. And people wonder why there is so much anger and hate and strife in this world. It's because when the mouth opens, a lot of no good things come out of it. And do you know that in the church, that is one of the first places that you will see that kind of activity happening? Because we go to church, oh God, I'll go to church where you want me to go, and Lord, bring people to our church. And then people start coming in and we start judging them by certain things of their life. And the next thing you know, there's a gossip circle going on in the church. And there's no life being built up. There's no love of Jesus being shown to the multitudes. And guess what happens? After a while, one group of people says, well, I've had enough of this. We're going to go somewhere else. It does. It happens probably every week somewhere that we know not of, that there's a church splitting because we are not working on the relationships that Christ has gave us as a responsibility. So in my Christian life, I mean, after I became a Christian and then I surrendered to preaching, you know what I still believed? I still believed that gossiping in the church was just the way it was. And I can't tell you how many times I found myself in the middle of a gossip circle. And we'd go out to dinner, and one day I was praying and I was listening to a pastor. I don't know if any of you have ever heard of Dr. E.V. Hill, but Dr. E.V. Hill, he one of the finest men I've ever heard preach. He's preaching a sermon on basically on loving others. And I mean, the Holy Spirit has dealt with me so many times in my life about how come you can't love that one? And then I'd find a reason why. And the Lord said, that's not good enough. I've commanded you to love these people. And it wasn't until I got myself out of the way and I had to ask the Lord, Father, you fill me. You fill me with compassion. Fill me with love. Fill me, Lord God, and teach me. And if I can't say, now my grandma used to say this. My grandma used to say that as a pastor's wife, if you can't say anything nice about somebody, then don't say anything at all. But too many times the tongue gets loose in the church and we start cutting people down. We start talking about how bad we don't like or we point out all of their bad sides. And guess what's going to happen to that church eventually? That church will eventually die because the Spirit of the Lord will not work in a place that I've often said this, and I'm not trying to say this to be mean, but there's a lot of churches where it's been a pit of heathens. We have to evaluate our words and how they affect others. And then we have to guard ourselves against prideful or careless speech. So really, if there are words that are about to come out of you, you need to evaluate them. You need to take a long, hard look. I mean, if I walk in here, I'm going to pick on Billy because Billy's got big shoulders. He always grins when I pick on him. But now if I come in here and I said, now, Billy, I just don't like the jeans you're wearing. I wish you'd wear dress pants. I wish you'd wear a dress. I don't like the way you look. You know, you just need to start wearing a suit and tie. Now, if I started picking on Billy like that every Sunday, you know what Billy's going to start thinking after a while? Man, this guy doesn't like me. Well, and then he's going to try to think, well, what can I do to change how he thinks about me? Okay, well, right there, there's a whole wrong thing right there. I tell you what, I don't care. Well, let me retract. I shouldn't say I don't care what you wear to church. It doesn't matter if you wear jeans or whatever to church, as long as you're coming to church and as long as you're worshiping the Lord, I'm glad that you're here. Now, my grandfather said, oh, you should never go to church without wearing a suit. You need to have a coat on, a vest, a tie. And he said, now, Jimbo, when you get up there in the pulpit to preach, that's how you should dress. Well, look at me today. I've got on casual pants and a regular shirt. I forgot my belt, so don't judge me for that. But anyway, we need to evaluate the words. So if what I said to Billy, I mean, I have to look at that. Am I encouraging him by that? Am I showing him love? Am I showing him respect? Absolutely not. I am tearing down his character. And do you know who really looks bad in that situation? It wouldn't be Billy. Right here. This is where I'd be the one that looks bad. I'm and imagine this. If other Christian people who knew I was a pastor heard that being spoken, that would destroy my witness. And you know what people would say? Man, that guy right there, he's supposed to be a preacher. He is supposed to be a Christian role model. But listen to him. If he is talking like that, if he's treating other people in that manner, then maybe it's okay for me to do the same thing. That's, and I've said this, there are people who don't like me, and I can't help that. But I'm going to love them right back, and I'm going to pray for them. And I'm still going to walk right up to them, and I'll grab them by the hand. Hey, how you doing? Good to see you. Now, there's been many times I've walked into churches that had some pretty evil people in it, and they'd asked me to go there and try to straighten something out that was pretty bad. And I'll tell you what, there'd been some times I was wanting to throttle some people. But I think the Lord was putting me in situations like that to show me that when you show love to others, love can conquer much more than the negativity that comes out of our mouths. That's why I always tell ladies when I see them, I tell them how beautiful they look. Really? And guys, how handsome they look. I'm not trying to be weird or anything like that. I'm just speaking truth. Every single one of us was made in the likeness of God. Now, we have never seen God, but I can tell you this. God, His amazing beauty, I can't even find the words right now to describe how beautiful God is. Now, if you and I were created in His likeness, then we're pretty beautiful as well, aren't we? And that's what we should be looking at others, and we should be bringing out the good. Now, the things that I went through my whole life, I believed I was a nothing. I believed that I was no good. I believed that nobody loved me, that nobody wanted me around. And so I isolated myself for years. And I was struck down. I was depressed. I was anxious. I mean, I told you before what they call one of those introverts. I didn't like people. And the moment that I got saved and I saw what the love of Jesus could do in my heart and my life, and it started, I mean, it took a lot of change. It's taken a lot of years. I'm still not perfect, but I can tell you this. I started to look at others in a whole different light. And instead of looking at the bad things that people do out of habit, I started to look and saying, Father, show me the possibility. Show me what you see in that person. Let me look at their heart. Don't let me judge them by their actions. Don't let me judge them at all, Lord. But help me to see what you see, Father. That's how I want life to be. So I come into church and I see Billy. I always tell Billy and Brandy, I tell everybody as much as I can, so glad to see you today. Good morning. And when I get up here, if I got up here with a frown and a bunch of negative words, how long would you want me to stand in this pulpit? If I was up here condemning everything, how long would you want me to stand up here? Not very long. There'd probably be a group of people have me hogtied and carry me right out the back door and throw me down that hillside and say, whew, thank God he's gone. But I guarantee you, I won't do that. But even though those people don't like me, that's all right. I'm going to love them and pray for them and ask the Lord to change the course of their heart. Secondly,
second point here.
The tongue can cause great destruction. Behold how great a matter a little fire kindleth. See, the tongue is compared to a fire because, number one, fire spreads quickly. When you get a fire started with a match, how little is that match head? It's pretty small, the match head is. But man, once you strike that match and you've got a little bitty flame, if you go to the right source of fuel, I went through firefighter training. I can't remember all the there was a whole pyramid of the fuel thing. If you took one of those out, your fire would go out. Well, if you've got all the right things in order, you set that fire, you set that little flame to something, and once it catches, it can turn into a big blazing fiery inferno. I'll use this as an example. We got called out one time, the fire department. We had a field fire. And this fella said, I got out there. He said, all I did, I was trying to burn this little pile of stuff. And this was over off of Highway 13 and 166 at Marion, out there in his field. Well, when we got there on the fire truck, I'm talking acres are on fire and burning. And I was like, wow. And this man said, I didn't mean for this to happen. I just wanted to burn this. So see, the tongue can start a fire, which means you can say something that you think was so small and innocent, but it can ignite anger in the life or lives and hearts of other people. And it can start a firestorm that spreads very rapidly. And if a fire spreads rapidly, especially through a house or a field or whatever, or even a car, if all the right sources are there, it will spread rapidly, it will burn hot, and it will cause great damage and destruction. And if we let our tongues set fires, especially in the lives of others, we will cause a fire that will destroy a person's character and their life and their heart and their emotions in a very quick way. And once that damage has been done, it is very hard a lot of times to go back and repair that damage. I've often heard people say, don't burn your bridge and then try to cross it again. That's what I heard of a lot in my life. But it's hard to control once it's ignited. So that's why I say that we should say, Lord, help me to think before I speak. Sinful speech corrupts the whole life, and it can influence others towards sin. So what you're doing, there may be somebody who looks up to you, and if the things you're saying and doing is not right, you could lead that person far away from the Lord Jesus. It really could. And we as Christians, we will be held accountable for every word spoken. So before that cuss word comes out, before that blasphemous word, before that dirty joke, before that gossiping rumor is spread, before the hateful comment is leashed out, you need to quickly think about the destruction and the hate and the strife that it will stir up in the hearts of those that are about to receive it. We should avoid gossip, we should avoid slander, and we should avoid harsh words. We need to consider the long-term impact before speaking. I think we ought to pray, Father, if it ain't worth saying, then help me to keep my mouth shut. Now, there was a preacher on TV one time. He was preaching about money. And he'd get on there and he'd say, now, if you'll just send me your money, you're going to be blessed. Why, you're going to be rich. You're going to have wealth untold. And he said, if I'm speaking a lie, then I pray that God will let my tongue cleave to the roof of my mouth. And I was going, cleave it, Lord, cleave it to the roof of his mouth. But I was sitting in my own chair, nobody else around. So that was wrong. I should pray for him to have a different attitude. The tongue is humanly untamable. Human beings have subdued wild beasts, birds, serpents, sea creatures, but the one thing that people can't control is the tongue. Human effort alone cannot fully tame the tongue. This is where we have to have a recognition for spiritual transformation. I can't stand here and point at anybody and say, this is what you need to do, this is what you need to go after. Only thing I can do is say, Father, I come before you as Jim Cooper, and Father, I just ask and pray that Lord, you would show me where I'm falling short, maybe in a relationship with somebody. Or Lord, help me to deal with that person on your level. Not their level, but Lord, help me to deal with them on your level. And Father, through love and through mercy and through grace and compassion, help me to reach the heart of that person so that I could help them to make a difference. That's what God put us here for. God put us here as a church to fellowship and love one another. Now, if there's a prayer request out there and I'm talking about something about that prayer request, I'm not gossiping. I'm just sharing with the church body if that person wanted the prayer request shared. Now, yeah, there's times like the other day, or Friday night, I was tired. It had been a long week with family and just things going on, and I wanted to get back and going up the interstate, and all of a sudden this truck driver, boom, right over I was on the passing lane or in the passing lane in Arkansas, running 75 mile an hour. That is the speed limit. I was in the passing lane doing it. And I was going 75 mile an hour, and all of a sudden that trucker, man, he come right over. And I don't know if any of you have a car that's got that camera that, boy, if somebody pulls right in front of you, man, it'll break you. It'll stop you without you having your foot on the brake. Well, let me tell you, I got thrust into that brake, and here's what this come out of my mouth. I said, "Well, you idiot truck driver." And then from there on, I griped and complained about every trucker that I saw. And I was in the car by myself. And finally, I pulled off at Portageville, Missouri, to go get something to eat. And then I was finding things in there that I was up here thinking negative about, because I let a little fire get out of control. And when I got back in the car, I had to do some praying. Now, God will quickly turn a situation around, but I have to be reminded a lot that even if I'm not feeling good, even in the midst of pain, I still need to show the love of Christ, and I need to speak words. I need to speak things that are good, that are lovely, that are of good report. You know, that's why I thank everybody for what you do in this church. I'm just thankful for the ones. I mean, if you don't help with the yard sale, if you don't ever help with it, but you come to church, I'm so thankful that you come to church. I'm thankful for every little thing. And walking back through the back hallway this morning, thank you, Billy, for putting the blinds up. Some people might think, oh, that's nothing really. I cannot tell you how much better that back hallway looks. The shades are down. I mean, them shades are from the 1950s and 60s and 70s. And Billy's got those mini blinds up, and they look beautiful. And the basement looked great yesterday. It was all cleaned out from everything from the yard sale. The food was just, oh, it was wonderful. So see, that's what I'm saying. If you will strive each and every moment to speak and say good things and treat others with love and give them the words of Jesus, you're going to see your life bear fruit, and you're going to feel a lot better. Why do you think people are grouchy? Why do you think people are irritable? Why do you think people will just tear your hat off the first time you say something to them? It's because they live a life of negativity, and they have so much hate in their heart, they don't know how to be happy. And I saw it firsthand every day of my life growing up. I used to feel sorry for my folks. I did. I thought, my word, how in the world can anybody live their life like that and enjoy it? I'll never know. But I'll tell you this, we'd all get together on Christmas time or somebody's birthday, and when the negativity started, I always started speaking good things of the Lord instead. Boy, it'd make my dad madder than a hornet. But I didn't care. I started speaking the good things of the Lord, because I tell you what, when you start speaking good things, doesn't an atmosphere feel a lot better? When we come into church, Father, thank you for our church house. No, we don't have a building that cost $800,000, and I wouldn't want that. I don't even want a building that costs $150,000. I'm glad we don't have a coffee and donut bar. I'm glad we don't have a band and lights and smoke up here. I'm glad we don't have any of that. I just say, thank you, Lord, that I have a house to come and worship you in, and that I've got a wonderful church family to do it with. And I say this every week because I mean it. I love each and every one of you for who you are. God made you special, and that's the kind of thing I'm not going to even get into these last two points because we'll be here for another 45 minutes if I did. So let me go to the end of my notes here and leave you with this. We should pause before speaking. These are practical steps for controlling. Pause before speaking. That means don't speak in anger. Don't let your anger let words fly out, because you can't take those words back. And once that damage is done, you know, I'll say this real quick. You can be friends with somebody for 50, 60 years, and in a matter of 1 minute, you can destroy that entire relationship. I'm proof of that. I've done it, and I'm sorry I ever did it. Speak truth in love. Ephesians 4:15. Use words to edify. Ephesians 4:29. And pray for guidance. Psalm 141 and verse 3. The tongue is small, but it's powerful. It can either destroy or build up, and truth control comes through a transformed heart under God's authority. Because the Bible does say, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. So I want to ask you, what's in your heart? What's in my heart? Don't look at your neighbor and say, I wonder how my neighbor's heart is. Really, look at yourself this morning. What's in my heart? Is it good? And I want to say this. I know, and I may sound like a repeating mockingbird, but look to Jesus. I know there's great people that lived on the face of this earth, and there's maybe folks in your family or friends you knew that never spoke. Don't base your faith on people. Base your heart and your faith on Jesus Christ. Let His love consume your heart, and put your heart up above the things of the mind. Because I tell you what, where Christ is, we need to start elevating Christ above our human mind. We need to let that heart work within us and change us. And I guarantee you, if you'll start practicing saying good things about people, before long, you'll find out you're a lot happier person. And you'll have a lot more joy. Now, when I finally broke away from that, when I finally broke away from all that stuff, I did. I just started to experience my relationship with Christ in a whole different way. Now, man, people make me mad. Oh, yeah, people will make me so mad. And sometimes I'm just going, oh, doggone that, you know. And I try to maybe just keep it at that. But I'm still praying, Lord, help me above everything to overcome the flesh, and help me to live in the Spirit and love with the kind of love that you have.